so worthy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all who are here and those who are still on the way. Thank you to be present here in your presence, dear Lord God. Bless our pastor as he prepares to bring what you have put in his heart. Thank you for another time that we can just be here in your presence, watching over us all during the days and weeks, dear Lord God. We don't take anything for granted. It's all in your hands, dear Lord God. Thank you for all that you do in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 105, please. Sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, that the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous work that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abram, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He's the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. Confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan and the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, they strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sins, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Just thank you, Lord Jesus, for watching over us and keeping us. Sing this little song. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, glory stream from heaven.
Savior is born. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul. Oh.
tonight.
Have a few specials this morning, maybe see. Brother Jose and family.
Bless you, saints. Sing along with us if you know the song. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Living sanctuary. Thank you, my friend. Lord. Sister Cobb.
Lily,
of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Day stars shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your love shine through. What's wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. World that's dying, wounded by that master of deceit, groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past. I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. So lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let me know your wisdom. Show me things I've never seen. What's wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me. shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Thank you, sister.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you. Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Jeffries. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, thank you. Amen, amen. My God, my God. Well, next we have Sister Shonda.
Faithful.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you. Let's give a hand to all the specials this morning.
See Sister Ellen, Sister Gina. God bless you both. Praise the Lord. Will you all stand to your feet? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be a part of the body of Christ, Lord. Father, when one mourns, Lord God, we all mourn together. When one rejoices, Lord, we all rejoice together. And Father God, you are the great comforter. Father, what a loss, Lord, we've had. We lost Brother Burrs, Lord, such a pillar, such a strong example, Lord, of a son of God. And Father God, we miss him this morning. But Lord God, we know that he's in your presence where the saints are, Lord. Father, rejoicing with all those that have gone on before, Lord. Mother Tillman, she's there. Brother Mike, they met him when he crossed the river, oh God. And Father, we're so grateful that they can now rejoice together, Lord. And they're waiting for that great resurrection hour, Lord. And someday we'll see them again, Lord. Father, should we fall asleep, we'll meet them over there. But one day, they'll come again, oh God. And when we see them, we'll be changed, Lord. We'll be caught up together with them to meet you in the air. Father, how we long for that hour, Lord. But right now, Lord, we need comfort for our hearts, Lord. We need strength for the day, Lord, that we're now living in. We need more revelation, Lord. Increase our faith as we have gathered together this morning. Father, we need to do your work, Lord. Do the great exploits, Lord, that you promised that we would do. We must stand as sons and daughters of God in this hour, Lord. For we are ordained to do so. Father, as your word goes forth this morning, Lord, may every heart be receptive, Lord. May we take it, Lord, that you're speaking to us, Lord. You spoke the word, Lord, that we might be what you would have us to be. We ask that you anoint Brother Jack this morning in a special way. Father, just help him to get himself out of the way, and may your word go forth in power and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And may your people receive it gladly, Lord. Father, you know the needs upon your people's hearts, oh God. Father, some domestic, Lord God, some financial, Lord, some healing, Lord. Oh, Father, we just ask that you meet each and every need. Bless your people now as we have gathered together in your presence, Lord. We know that all things are possible to them that believe. We love you, Father. You said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Therefore, we have asked all these in the blessed and lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. Amen. We have a birthday coming up. Sister Shonda, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Another year. Praise the Lord. Look like you're almost 19. God bless you, sister. Amen. Christmas worship service tonight at 5:30. I trust that we're going to have a good time tonight. Praise the Lord. So everyone is invited. Come and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. There'll be no service Wednesday night. And after the service, please remain after the service for a brief meeting. It'll be over in the school. So we're going to meet over there. Amen. The homegoing celebration for Brother Burrs, the wake Thursday, December 24th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Peaceful Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 819 8th Street, WPB, West Palm Beach. Amen. The homegoing celebration Saturday, December 26th, at 1 p.m., Victory Tabernacle, 160 West 20th Street, and that's also Palm Beach. It's not going to be there. Riviera Beach. Yes, that's correct. Riviera Beach. And you have Sister Burr's number up there if you need anything. Amen. Keep Sister Burr's, Sister Gina, Brother Jack, all the family in prayer. God bless you, every one of you. Praise the Lord. We like to ask the brothers to come at this time to take up the tithe and offering.
again, dear Lord God. We pray now that you bless the people as they give from their hearts, dear Lord God. Thank you for even being able to give, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for the jobs you give us. Everything that you do, we're just so thankful. May you bless the offering now in Jesus' name.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we would get ready to go into the word of the Lord, I wanted to see, Gina, did you have anything in your heart you wanted to share in song or anything? We don't get a chance to have you on a Sunday like this, so. It's just good to have her, and you can be seated. Good to have Mama, amen, in service today, and certainly we want to appreciate the church for all your prayers and support for us in the loss of Dad, amen. We are confident that he made it home. He just beat us there. He got there a little earlier than us, but we're happy. Amen. Mama was just sharing with me this week. She said, actually to us as kids, she said, you know, the scripture talks about God giving us peace, you know, and it said the peace that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And she said, you know, that's a real place that you can go to and you can get in God. And you don't really know too much about it until you start going through things like this. But Thank God for the peace that he's given us, amen, during this time. And we're looking forward to celebrating next week. Y'all probably going to see something that y'all haven't seen at too many other homegoing services, but my daddy raised singers. My daddy raised musicians. And we're going to sing for my daddy. So, and we're looking forward to it. So don't come with your cute shoes. Come with your shouting shoes, because we're going to enjoy Jesus. We're going to enjoy Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Grace, the steadfast. is thy faithfulness. Oh, great is thy faithfulness.
Come on, the steadfast love.
Oh, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. For thee I knew every morning, yes, day I knew every morning, yea, great is our faithfulness. Oh, oh Lord, great is our faithfulness. Yes. Oh Lord, great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hey, nobody else can do me the way you can. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you, God. We praise your name. Great is thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. You never fail. You never fail. You never fail. Hey, great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. Somebody worship him. Somebody worship him. Glory to his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God, we declare that you have been faithful. There's no God like our God. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My mind goes back to the poem, Footprints on the Sands of Time. How, Lord, the author of the poem just had a question in his heart when he saw two sets of footprints, and other times in life he only saw one set of prints. Question was raised, why did you leave me at the time that I saw the one set of footprints? But the answer was given to settle the heart of the author. Say, no, the time that you saw one set of footprints, that's the time that I was carrying you. And we can look back in life and see those times that have carried us, then we say, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for carrying us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for holding us. Father, we thank you for who you are to us. So good that we can depend on you. We can trust you, that we can love you. We can draw closer to you. God, we pray that you just continue to give us strength. All my family, my mom, my brothers, my sisters, all the grandchildren, my uncles, my aunt. God, we're all impacted, and we just need you to carry us. So we ask that you would help us, Lord, through this season. And God, ultimately, we pray that somebody would come to know Jesus. If there's a backslide in the family, that they would be restored. God, we're looking for you to do mighty things. And as a church, God, you know that we have gone through a lot this year, but amen, we stand and still say, great is your faithfulness. bless the name of Jesus. I thank you for the life of Mother Tillman. I thank you for the life of Brother Mike Woodfolk. I thank you for the life of Brother Hochi Hernandez. And I thank you for the life of Roosevelt Burrs. God, how you allowed all of them to fellowship here in this place. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you don't make mistakes. You're very wise in all the things that you do. So, God, what we received in our lives from all these people that have touched us, we thank you for that. And, God, we're asking that you continue to give this entire church strength as they press through into 2016. But you have great things in store for each and every one of us. God, we believe it, and we receive it with thanksgiving. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I wanted to say thank you for all the specials, amen, that went forth this morning. I heard a number of them, and I was sitting there. I thought it was Brother Jeffrey, but it was Brother Josue. Amen. I believe giving us a song, so I thank God.
Both of them.
Okay, yeah. So I was saying I thought it was Brother Jeffrey at the beginning, but it was Brother Josue. And then later on, Brother Jeffrey came. Amen. And but Sister Shonda and Sister Cobb, amen, all of you all, thank you so much for, amen, your songs this morning. Amen. And I certainly appreciate some of the songs that typically we only get a chance to sing. God bless y'all. Thank y'all, musicians. I won't hold y'all any longer. But sometimes we only get a chance to sing these songs during this Christmas season, and just thank God for picking up some of those songs there, Brother Wisdom, and just bringing them back. They're oldies but goodies. Amen. And I always, always enjoy that. I would like to just invite your attention to the word of the Lord on today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see Brother Felix. He hadn't been feeling well in his body, but good to see him in the service of the Lord. Amen. On today. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7. Amen. And also I'll read from Luke chapter 1 today. Sister Linda, God bless you. So good to see you. Amen. Amen. Thank God for everything. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10, and then I'll read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 says, moreover, see here, that noise is going to get me, so let me just turn this off. All right. Says this in verse 10, says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God, ask it either in depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And it said, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and that Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. God with us. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let's just turn over here to Luke chapter 1. We'll see where this was promised in Isaiah, but fulfilled in Luke. Amen. Verse 26 here in Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. Call his name Jesus. And that means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. It says, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow quickly for a word of prayer, and I'll let you have your seats. God, we thank you for the ability to read the word of God, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would make known to us the things that we need to know here today. Speak to all of our hearts and strengthen us, Lord, for the journey. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We want to take for our title today, Jesus Saves. Amen. Jesus Saves. Amen. I like that. They had the years ago, there was bumper stickers on everybody's car, you know, talking about how Jesus saves. You know, people were excited, amen, about salvation through Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think it's something that we ought to still get excited about when we recognize how good he's been to us. And, you know, if it had not been for his salvation, then we don't know where we would be. The scripture says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, then where would I be, right? And, you know, if some of our lives were a wreck, miserable wreck, right? We were headed in the wrong direction, but somebody told us about Jesus. And we found out, amen, that Jesus saves. Amen. That's a good thing to know. That's good news this morning, that Jesus saves. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. You know, I this being the Christmas season, and you know, we see so many people, you know, that are just so caught up in, you know, just all the activities and things of that nature. People go in debt, you know, over this season. The debt starts on the day after Thanksgiving. Actually, I think this year, I think it started in the month of November. They stopped waiting for Black Friday. Right. Now they got Thursday that they opening things up, you know, and I mean, on Thanksgiving Day, when you should be spending time with the family, you're out shopping, you know, trying to get a good deal. And they just, I mean, it's just a it's amazing how people get caught up in the spirit of Christmas, but they're really not understanding what Christmas all about. Amen. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about Christmas presents. Right. Amen. And I was saying, you know, it's not about the presents, but it is about the presents. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Not something with, you know, a bow on the top of it and you unwrap it and that's your present. Right. But it's about the presence of the Lord coming to dwell with man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. So we thank God, you know, for our understanding of this. And, you know, as we just saw, you know, we can kind of go back in our, you know, we all understand the Christmas story. We've read it and heard it many times. But, you know, just kind of going back and just kind of thinking on things again, we remember that day. And we don't believe, and let me just make it clear, Jesus was not born on December 25th. That is a pagan tradition that was brought over into Christianity, and they've made a holiday out of it. And you can tell it's pagan because they've completely exed Christ out of Christmas. Right, you can tell it was never about, you know, never about him. But one thing I am happy about is that it forces the entire world, no matter where you are, you know, when you start talking about Christmas, it forces us to have a little conversation about what God did, you know, some 2,000 years ago, right? So I'm happy that we get a chance to share the true meaning, the true story of Christmas. It's about our God coming to earth. Amen. Taking on the form of man so he could die for our sins. We thank God for that. Amen. Santa Claus don't have nothing to do with that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Saint Nick ain't got nothing to do with that. We ought to stop telling our kids that Santa Claus is going to give them something. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Santa Claus did not get that for you. Amen. Mama and daddy worked hard to get that for you. Santa Claus he can't get to everybody's house in one night. Amen. He is not omnipresent, right? The only omnipresent one is God himself. Come on, somebody. Amen. We not talking about Santa Claus. He shouldn't have nothing. Easter bunnies and Santa Claus shouldn't have nothing to do with Christianity. Amen. That's pagan stuff, right? But we wanted to get people to see the truth behind what happened at Christmas. This day that y'all celebrate as his birth, we want to get you to see the truth behind what happened there. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a little bit, and then we'll go a little further, amen, in our thought here today. But Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we're just pulling that up, let me just kind of just inject this a little bit, because I may forget it a little bit later. But, you know, when you think about it, somebody asked a question, say, you know, how would it feel to have a birthday celebration and nobody bring you a present? Right? The birthday is all about you, but nobody brings you a present. They actually give each other presents, but they don't give you nothing. But it's supposed to be your birthday. Well, that's exactly what's happening here at Christmas time. Nobody bringing Christ anything, right? Even all the way from the time that, you know, he was being born on the earth. And, you know, we're talking about God becoming man, right? Brother Branham called it a super sign. God becoming man. This is a tremendous event that took place on the earth, right? When our Lord and Savior was born, it was, you know, they're preparing for this birth. You know, Mary and Joseph have received this revelation. Mary got a direct visitation from the angel Gabriel, and then, you know, Joseph got a direct visitation, you know, in a dream that he was supposed to take Mary as his wife. And both encounters, the angel told Joseph in a dream, and the angel told Mary, amen, in person, to call his name Jesus. Amen. Now, and I thought about that, because oftentimes when parents, you know, are having children, you know, it's always a little disagreement as to what the name going to be, right? I mean, maybe the mama want to call it this name and the daddy got something else in his mind. So oftentimes they have to, you know, make a compromise. And sometimes some kids end up with some strange names, right? I mean, they done combined two names together. You need to watch what you name your children, because you don't know what spirit go with that name. Hallelujah. Don't be coming up with just mixing all these syllables together. Everything got a meaning. Come on, somebody. Amen. But, you know, I mean, but you know, here the parents did not have to worry about what they were going to name the child. They were given the name. Amen. The name was supposed to be Jesus, because Jesus, that name means that Yahweh is salvation. Praise the Lord. Jesus saves. I could just imagine as they were preparing, you know, we know about the taxation that took place, and that they, the city that they were living in, that they could not have the baby in that town, but it was all to fulfill the word of God to move them out, you know, of where they were, so that the scripture could be fulfilled, that Jesus would be born, amen, in Bethlehem of Judea. Right, so it was certain things that God allowed to happen. There was tribulation, there was distress, all those things that God allowed to happen in order to allow his word to be fulfilled. Let me tell you something, there's some things that might happen in your life. And all the times, I mean, it's not the devil making it happen. Come on, sometimes it's God just getting you in position so he can allow his word to be fulfilled in and through you. So thank God for your trials. Amen, God don't make mistakes. Amen. We ought to embrace the trial. Glory to God. But you know, here, you know, they were forced to go there to Bethlehem and go, the city where Joseph was born. They had to go back and register there. And you know, they're forced down there. And here Mary's in her third trimester and all kind of things happening. You know, maybe they're thinking, man, we can't make this journey. But God knew exactly what he was going to do, how he was going to protect them on that journey to make sure they got to a place where that baby would be born, and they'd be born fulfilling the word of God. Now, when they got there to that place, think about this. When they got there to that place, and here, you know, even right now, if we had a person that ain't been in our church, you know, forever, you know, but, you know, maybe it's the first time they walk into the church, and here come this sister, maybe she's pregnant. You know, all the sisters in here will start asking different questions to the sister, just to kind of get, especially those that have already had kids. And they begin to ask questions about, hey, you know, what you gonna have? Do you know what you're gonna have? And do you know this? And do you know that? And, you know, have you had a baby shower? You know, and if that lady was to say, well, no, I haven't had a baby shower, you know, people would get in motion real quick, right, in order to try to have a baby shower to welcome, you know, this little one that's coming to the earth. Right? They want to know, is it a boy, is it a girl? We got to buy certain presents, got to be certain colors, all these other things in order to welcome this child to the earth. But I want to let you know, amen, that our Lord and Savior, when he came to earth, he didn't have no baby shower. Amen. So when you think about it, it's good that we can have baby showers. I'm not preaching against baby showers. I think that's fine. But what I am preaching against this morning is your attitude in the midst of the baby shower. If you don't get the present that you thought you should have got, remember my Lord did not have a baby shower. Huh? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords did not have a baby shower. Amen. So we got to keep it in perspective when we're looking at these things. But our Lord just went through so much to be born, and there he gets to the city and he knows that his wife is feeling contractions, and he begins to, you know, search for a place that they could have this child. And all the hotels are booked this night, and there's no room anywhere. And, you know, even they get to this last inn, and the scripture tells us that there was no room in the inn. I'm talking about when my Lord was born on this earth, there was no room in the inn. Nobody had room for Jesus. Come on. And I'm finding that we're having the same problem today. Amen. People still don't have room for Jesus. Amen. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. And you're going to have to push some things out of your life in order to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. There was no room in the inn. And we find there's also no room inside of people's heart nowadays for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody make room for Jesus. Hallelujah. But here we find, you know, that the lady, you know, maybe they're taking care of the inn, and she says, you know, I'll tell you what, we don't have any room in the inn, but we do have a manger that you can go in. Maybe you can go in there. Think about this. We talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords not being born. And, you know, even, you know, daddies and mamas, some of the places that we complain about birthing our kids. I remember when we was, you know, the kids was being born, and man, you know, we didn't want just a regular room, right? We want to go to the birthing center. We want to do all these other special things and all of that. But when you put it all in perspective, our Lord and Savior did not have all that. So we ought to thank God for the little things that we have rather than complaining about everything. Here says, I'll take him to the manger. And you know, the Bible says that he was wrapped in a swaddling cloth. And, you know, as he lay there in the manger, and what this is, you know, where he was born. And, you know, Ma, you got that nice crib that you're putting your baby in. Hello, somebody. You complaining, you know, that they got to sleep with you. I'm talking real good. You complaining about them getting in the bed with you and all this. But I want you to understand, my Lord, where he was placed was in a feeding trough for animals. My. And most of us, and you know, I mean, most of us here, if that was our option, that's one that we wouldn't accept. Huh? But our Lord and Savior was placed in a feeding trough for animals to eat out of.
And the other things that since they didn't have a baby shower for him, he didn't have any new clothes when he was born. He didn't have no special outfit, amen, with grandma and granddaddy picture on it or something like that. He didn't have none of that. But they took they just kind of took a little piece off the ox, some garment that they had on top of an ox, and that was a swaddling cloth that they wrapped him in. Let's get it all in perspective. When we talk about Christmas, let's think about the real picture. I want you to go with me here on a quote. I had revelation of Jesus Christ, but I want to go somewhere else if I can. God's wrapped gift. My God, I'm so glad that Jesus saves. He says it wasn't wrapped in fine linens. He says it was wrapped in swaddling cloth, which I'm taught that the very thing that Jesus was wrapped in, the Christ, was the stuff off the back of a yoke of an ox that was hanging in the stable. He was wrapped in the swaddling cloth where they put the rag around the ox's yoke to keep it from rubbing a blister on him when he was pulling. They had no clothes for him. And oh, when I think of that, it nearly breaks my heart. No clothes for Emmanuel, the creator of heavens and earth, and no clothes for him to put on. And had to be wrapped in the rag that an ox had worked his neck through. Oh, what a super sign. Says it ought to be real attractive to the people. Little Jehovah crying like a baby. God made flesh in a package. God, who covers all space and time, was before there was a world or a star or a molecule, wrapped himself in a little package and was laid in a manger in a stable where the manures of the cattle and sheep and things up over that stable. And in this little manger on straw or hay, Jehovah was laying there crying like a baby. Can you imagine that? I think we ought to get it in perspective on today. But let's kind of keep going on here. Amen. I want to just kind of bring your attention. You know, we were just kind of reading the scripture out of Isaiah 7 and also Luke 1. Now, also, if we just kind of read this from Matthew 1, let's turn there, Matthew 1, and let's go to verse 18, kind of picking up the same story. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just follow me here today. This is where the angel appears to Joseph. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. So here in Matthew 1, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. He shall save his people from their sins. Look at it. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I was just kind of looking at this and looking at some of my notes in my Bible, you know, and the theologians kind of put something there, said Matthew is, read from the book of Matthew. Matthew is clearly correct in quoting Isaiah 7:14 as being fulfilled in the virgin birth of Christ. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, this is a title describing the deity of the person of the Son of God. This, again, is a title, Emmanuel. It's a title describing the deity of the person of the Son of God rather than a name used by him. It implies that God will come to dwell among his own people, and he did that in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. God was coming to dwell amongst his people, and he did that in the person of Jesus Christ. The prophet said in one place, it said, the greatest of all the revelations, amen, that you can receive, the greatest of all the revelations is the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you can't get the first base until you believe that. Hallelujah. I like this. Turn with me to one more scripture. The supreme deity of Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 12. And let's just kind of line up a couple things here. This is something that I read this recently, and it just blessed my heart. And I just want to read it again for you today. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. As you're getting that, let me just read one other thing to you. And this is out of the Kinsman Redeemer. Just turn to Isaiah 12. Hold that in your Bibles. I want to read this out of Kinsman Redeemer. The greatest of all revelations is the deity, or the supreme deity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to get that. The prophet said, I differ with Billy Graham on three individual persons in the Godhead, or any other Trinitarian teacher on that. I believe in a Trinity, of course, but not in that manner, them being three persons. They're one. The story, that story there alone, if I had nothing else but that, would prove it. God became man. He had to become kin folks, and he couldn't be God and us sinners, creations of his creation, creative beings of his creation, because he couldn't be kin folks there. So God became man that man might become God. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is the real story of Christmas. God became man so that man might become God. Hallelujah. You know, because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, I stand in front of you today as the very righteousness of God. Come on, somebody. It's because of the power of the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross that we can stand free from sin. See, he came to save his people from sin. Everybody in here was lost at some point in time. But because somebody introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a revelation that Jesus saves. Come on, you have experienced his salvation. Can't nobody tell you that you're not saved because you're not what you used to be. Amen. I might not be what I want to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. It's because of the power of the salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 12 here. It's something about this, church. The real story behind this, God became man. God became man so that we might become God. Look at this in Isaiah 12. Verse 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Hallelujah. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I like the way the scripture put that together because I found oftentimes when you're going through something, sometimes you just don't know where to turn in the Bible. Amen. Now, the word of God got strength, but you just don't know where to turn to get it. Amen. But I found that sometimes God will put a song in your heart. And just by singing that song, it begins to give you strength through the trial that you're facing. See, the Lord... Amen. It says, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I recently had a conversation with somebody. Say, how did Jehovah become our salvation? And they said, well, he sent his son. Jesus said, that's good. But the Bible says that Jehovah himself was our salvation.
So it's more than just sending his son, Jesus, amen, for Jehovah to be my salvation, then Jehovah must be Jesus. Come on, it's not three gods, it's only one God manifesting himself, changing its mass. Come on, somebody. Amen. He says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. The next verse says this: therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let me just kind of read a little bit more here. Amen. And we're gonna get into that. I'm coming back to that just in a second. Glory to God. Glory to God. Here, the Church of the Living God. Let me read something out of here. This message, the Church of the Living God. Thank you, Lord. My. It says, and when along came the virgin-born divine Son of God, and he was God's provided lamb, provided sacrifice, Jehovah Jireh, the provided one. And as he was born, and people of that day, of his day especially, the religious people did not believe him because he never come in a classical way that they expected him, but he came humble, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloth. There was no singing at his birth, as there is a king's birth. Mortals, when a king is born, the people sing and have jubilee. So Brother Branham say, you know, when kings are born on the earth, the people sing and have a jubilee, right? When a king is born, but there was no people singing. Amen, at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he did get some singing. It just didn't come from human beings. Amen. Said, but the angels came down and sang to the shepherds, in the city of David is born Christ the Savior. I can just imagine them shepherds being out there and hearing angels singing, church. Amen. It must have been a really awesome event for them to experience, being out there faithfully tending their sheep. And, you know, here all of a sudden out of nowhere, here's some angels just begin to sing and then give them revelation as to where they could find the Christ child. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, the angels sing when those kings, I mean, when Christ was born. But now that there is scripture in Luke 15:10 that tells us that there's another time when angels sing. Hallelujah. Says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So when a sinner realizes that Jesus saves and they accept that salvation, angels begin to sing all over again. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God for that, church. Jesus saves. Look at this. Super sign. Let's read this. Oh, my. I just love it. I love it. Jesus saves. Stay with me here. Says someone, as I've said before, wants to make him a little short God. He was a man. God was using a man. God was using a flesh that he created himself in order to create through him and to bring through him many sons. Says the scripture, through that obedient son, through one son all fail, through an obedient son all shall live that believe. God with us, a sign. And it said that would be a sign. Jesus so loved to refer to himself as Son of Man, man himself, just a man. I am nothing. The Son can do nothing in himself, but it's the Father was in him. The Emmanuel, the God, the baby, God, Jehovah God, that little baby cried, that was Jehovah. Did you see it? God living in a baby. God living in a teenage. What type of teenager was he? He set the example. When he was lost by his father and his mother, they looked about to find him, and they found him in the temple. What did he say as a teenager? I wonder, amen, how many teenagers, when they plan on running away, and they shouldn't be planning on that, but when they plan on running away, how many will run away to the temple? How many will run to the church? Come on, somebody. Amen. He was an example for all teenagers. When his parents lost him, they found him in the temple, not at some party. I'm not sneaking out the house somewhere. Amen. They found them in the house of God. Come on, I wish I could find all God's children in the house of God. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. I like this. Amen. See, I'm going to tell you, if you was telling your mom and dad that you was going to church, they might not have a problem with you going out. Me and my friends get ready to go out. Go out where? To church. All right, you go right on. Amen. But when you talk about going to some party or something like this, everybody be worried about that. You aren't going to find Jesus in places like that. He was an example to all of us. Stay with me here. Come on now. It says, look, says his father and mother, they looked about to find him. And they found him in the temple. What did he say as a teenage? Know you not? Wist thou not that I must be about my father's business? Example for teenagers. As a man with all the pomp of the world offered him, everything laying right in his hands, to become the greatest of all men, the richest of all men. Who could tell people where fish had coins in their mouth? Could pump the best water out of the wells and turn it into wine? That could change anything that he wished to change? That could take 5 biscuits and feed 5,000 with a power in his hand to become a great man, but still chose to be poor. Didn't even have a grave when he died. He didn't have no clothes when he was born. Didn't have a grave when he died. He had to borrow one. I'm talking about the God that made this earth, made heavens and earth, had to borrow a grave to be borrowed in, to be buried in. Borrow a grave. It says he died, he had to borrow one. Emmanuel, this will be a sign. How does God come in the poor? How does God deal? It'll be an everlasting sign with the poor, the uneducated. So when we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you know, you might sit around this Christmas season and get some presents, and you're going to be so happy with some of the stuff you get, but you think about what he went through. And let me tell you something. Christmas would still be Christmas if you didn't get one present. And ain't nobody should be sitting around with their face all poked out. Ain't nobody buy me nothing. They didn't buy Jesus nothing. Amen. And you shouldn't love nobody no less because you didn't get your favorite present. This is even for the teenagers. You got your little Christmas list. Can I talk to y'all? You got your little Christmas list, and your mom and dad see your shoes talking. Huh? And they want to buy you some new shoes. Come on. And the first thing you put on your list is some LeBrons. And you know them shoes cost $300. $200, and then you're going to sit around and cry because you don't get $200 shoes? Shame on you. That's right. Jesus didn't have no shoes when he was born. Jesus didn't have no clothes when he was born. When he died, he didn't even have his own grave. He had to borrow one. And a man with all that power chose to be poor. Think about it. Think about it, church. Let's go on a little further. I'm talking about Jesus saves. He saves us from our attitudes during Christmas. Our bad attitudes. He saves us from that. When we get the true perspective of what this is all about. Amen. He changes our approach. We don't have to go in debt over Christmas. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Amen. You ain't got to be pressured into trying to get all of this. Borrowing from here and borrowing from there. No, no, no. You ain't got to do all that to celebrate the birth of our King. Amen, church. Now, I'm not telling you don't ever have it. Try to save something to bless your kids because your kids don't know about this. I'm talking at a much higher level. Them kids, when it comes Christmas Day, they're going to be looking for something. Come on, there's a dollar store next door. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop messing with y'all. But everybody can get something for a dollar. And that'd be better than what Jesus had. Stay with me just for a little bit longer. Here in the note there in Matthew 1, verse 21 and 22, there was I just want to kind of refer to a note that I got out of my Bible as we were reading that a little earlier. Matthew 1, verse 21 and 22. Let me just requote that, and then I just want to share a note with you. I'm so glad that Jesus saves. I'm
so glad he saved me. Verse 21 and 22 says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This note in my Bible says, they shall call his name Jesus. The name of the child, Jesus, Yeshua, means Jesus saves. This points to the very purpose of Christ coming into the world. The very purpose of him coming into the world is to save sinners. Amen. That's the very purpose of it, is to save sinners. You know, that's why when we're going to celebrate his birth, my God, you know, there's a quote where Brother Branham say, you know, you sit around asking, well, what did you get Daddy for Christmas? What did you get him? Somebody say, I got him some liquor. I got him some cards. I got him all these other things that, you know, I mean, actually, you're sending your dad to hell with the gifts that you're buying him for Christmas, right? I mean, I was at a service yesterday, and the lady stood up to give comments on this person that had passed, and she made a comment. She said, now, I know this ain't the right place to say this. And she's a much older lady. I mean, shouldn't have said nothing like this, but she said, I know this ain't the right place to say this, but when this preacher finished doing what they doing, y'all need to go get y'all Heinekens on. And you know what? Y'all said, ooh. You know what that church did? They start laughing, clapping over a comment like that. I said, Lord, have mercy. And then the preacher got up there and started telling them that, you know, just as long as you don't get drunk. You can drink just as long as you don't get drunk. And see, that's what I'm saying. If he saves, he should save you from drinking. That's right. Right? Amen. I mean, I'm trying to hold on to some things. I got to say some things at my dad's service, you know. But you know, Jesus saves us from that. Right? I mean, you know, how you going to say you got saved, but you still doing the same things you used to be doing? You ain't been converted. You ain't been saved. I mean, if I was trapped at sea somewhere, amen, and about to die because, you know, I'm trapped out here and I need somebody to rescue me and bring me back to land. When I get back to land, that's when I realize I've been rescued, I've been saved, my condition has changed. So when Jesus saves, your condition should change. Your lifestyle should change. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you react. All that should change when you say that Jesus has saved you. Amen. You shouldn't even have no desire. See, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they would take their little sacrifices up there to the, you know, to the temple, and they would lay their hand on the sacrifice, and, you know, they repent for the sin at that moment. But as soon as they finished repenting, they would turn right out with the same desire to keep on sinning. See, but God had to bring a perfect sacrifice. That when we recognize what he done at the cross, we identify ourselves with the sacrifice that was made. And once we identify, no longer are we going back with a desire to keep sinning. If you still have a desire to keep sinning, something wrong with your experience. Come on, you can be in church and still backslid. Huh? You can come Sunday after Sunday and still backslid. If that desire on the inside has not changed, you need to recognize that Jesus can save. And only Jesus can do it. That's why he was. That's why his name is Jesus. It meant that he was our Savior. See, I don't know if you've been in situations like I've been in, but I've been in cars and or vehicles or somewhere, and I get real close to death. You know, they say your life flashed right before you. Right, and here you sitting there, and you ain't got time to fast. You ain't got time to pray. You ain't got time to do nothing but one thing. You can't call mama. You can't call daddy. Huh? But you got to get in touch with somebody, because you know if this thing don't change in a minute, I'm going to be finished.
So there's something down on the inside of you because you've been taught right. And you know that when you're in trouble, you just call on the name Jesus. And all of a sudden that thing changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You don't even know how you got out of that situation. Well, I'm here to tell you how you got out. It's because Jesus saves. When your mortgage was behind, they were threatening to take your house, but you still living in that house today. Come on, it's because you called on the name of Jesus. Jesus saves.
See, I know he saves. The Bible said that was his purpose for coming. You know, that's the reason they gave him that name. Because the name actually meant salvation. It meant Jesus was our salvation. God was our salvation. That's what it meant. You know, here the scripture says he saves his people from their sins. And I want to tell you, you know, the same blood, amen, that saved you, amen, from sin is the same blood that saves you from sickness. Come on, somebody. It's the same blood. Same blood. You know, so, you know, when I just kind of looked at the scripture a little bit and I started looking at some situations, you say he saves, then how did he save? Let's look at a few people in the scripture. I was thinking about the disciples. Amen. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus had told them, let's go to the other side. And as they were in the boat rowing to go to the other side, all of a sudden a storm came out of nowhere. And here these disciples are, you know, just kind of things. Say, man, you know, we don't know if we're going to make it through this. And now he done told us that to go. But, you know, we out here, we being challenged with something that we ain't seen before. But there Jesus in the midst of their boat. And the Bible say he was just laying there sleeping. Amen. But, you know, the good news is that he was in the boat. Hallelujah. Glory to God, church. I like this because, you know, them disciples knew that they couldn't do nothing to turn that situation around. It was nothing that they could do that could change anything, but they realized that the master of the sea, the master of the wind, was laying in the boat with them. Come on, somebody. You got to know who's living inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So you ain't got to fret about different things. Just call on Jesus the way they called on Jesus. They saw him sleep. They began to shake him and wake him up and say, Jesus! Carest thou not that we perish? You say, you know, I mean, this storm is out of control. Do you care that we're about to die out here and you just sleeping in the midst of this? They woke him up and Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. I can see him just yawn a little bit. You of little faith, man. Y'all woke me up out of my sleep for what? Step out on the edge of the boat. And just, you know, no prayer. Huh? No fasting. Just a few words. Peace be still. Turn around and go back and lay down. Man, the disciples looked at that. Say, what manner of man is this? See, this is why we realized that this was deity dwelling in flesh. Because man could not do that, but God can. He put his foot out there and say, peace be still. Went back and laid down. Them disciples say, my, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They recognize at that moment that Jesus saves. Let me go a little further because after you move out of Mark 4, you get to Mark 5. And there's a story there of a man that was so bound. He was in so much bondage that the man was living inside of a graveyard. Now, I don't know anybody that want to buy a house inside of a graveyard. Amen. I know I wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to sell that to me. You couldn't give it to me. Amen. But nobody want to buy a house or live in a house that's owned a graveyard. But this man found himself living in the midst of the tombs. And, you know, and the Bible said that he was cutting himself with rocks. He was bound by a legion of demons. But the good thing is that he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I like this, you know, because 2,000 demons had this man
bound. 2,000 devils had him bound, right? But when he came into the presence of Jesus and Jesus began to cast those devils out, every demon had to leave. Come on. 2,000 devils was cast out. Now, what I want to just kind of point out here, we're not looking for partial deliverances. Hey, if you got 2,000 demons, every one of them got to be evicted. Every one of them got to go. We're not just going to take partial deliverance. Come on. Jesus saves completely. Huh? Glory to God. If you got a problem with drinking, Jesus saves. If you got a problem with smoking, Jesus saves. If you got a problem with lying, Jesus saves. 2,000 demons, Jesus still saves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think about the man lying at the pool of Bethesda. For 38 years, he had one encounter with Jesus. And Jesus asked him, will you be made whole? Glory to God. He was told to take up his bed and walk. And the reason that he could walk away from his sickness is because Jesus saves. Glory to God, somebody. Amen. The woman caught in the sin of adultery. And the accusers come and throw, they have their rocks ready to just kind of throw them at this lady. Mighty ready to strike her with the rocks. They wanted to take her life. My, but the good things that she was brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Nobody else could have judged her the way that Jesus could. Nobody else could treat her the way that Jesus could. Nobody else could say the things to her the way that Jesus said them. Amen. When they brought her into his presence, the wisdom that he used to say, hey, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, before you know it, these guys that had their rocks and getting ready to throw them and slay her, kill her right there in his presence, said they was using the scripture to support their actions. But Jesus said, look, you know, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Start writing in the sand. Before you know it, one by one, throw their rocks down. Throw their rocks down. Throw their rocks down. And then he asked the lady, say, lady, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Say, Lord, I don't have any. Say, well, I don't condemn you either. But say, go and sin no more. And what that lady found out that day, she had a death sentence on her because of her sin. Come on, somebody. But because she was in the presence of the Lord Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, because she was in his presence, she found out. And when you get to heaven, you're going to hear her say, Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go on a little further. Oh, my. You all know the story. Even all the way back in the Old Testament, he was proving that he was a savior. I remember, amen, three boys that decided that, you know what? We're not going to bow to this image of our friend Daniel. We're not going to bow to this. We are, you know, we're going to serve the one true and living God. Amen. We don't care what y'all do. Y'all can play the music, but we will not bow to this image. They say, look, we're going to have to heat this fire up 7 times hotter if y'all don't bow. Say, well, you know what? It don't matter. Throw us into the fire, you know, because we are not going to bow. We want it to be written in your books that we did not bow. And I like the thing that they said. They say, look, we know that our God can deliver. But if he choose not to deliver, let it be written that we did not bow. And there's many things that we go through in life where we know God can deliver. Hallelujah. We know God can turn that thing around. But if he choose not to, I still will not bow. I ain't giving up on my salvation. I ain't giving up on my relationship with Jesus because it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. See, I got enough of a relationship to know that I can pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed. Not my will, but thy will be done. And them boys had that testimony as they went into that fire. Man, and here the king got his strongest warriors, and they threw him into the fire. The strong men died, but the Hebrew boys are down there just, man, they just dancing. My, they just having a good time. And, man, I don't know what they were saying. I don't know what I know one of the songs that I would get when I going through, say, my God delivered Daniel,
My God delivered Daniel. Oh, my God delivered Daniel. And my God delivers me. See, you get encouragement through what you see other people go through. And that's what keeps you pressing forward. If God can do it for them, then God can do it for me. But them Hebrew boys, maybe they singing whatever song come to their heart, and they just down there rejoicing, and the king happened to look into the fire. And when he looked in, he said, now, wait a minute. I know I can count. And said, now, didn't we have three men standing here that we threw into that fire? And not only that, didn't the men that threw them in, the men that actually threw them in, didn't they die? Say, yeah, king, that's what exactly what happened. It's three men that you threw and say, well, why do I see four men? And one of them looked like the Son of Man. Huh? One of them looked like Jesus. Why would that fire not have any impact on those three brothers? Because Jesus. Jesus saves. I love this church. I love this. In Isaiah 12:3, we read it said, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I thought about that. So, you know, he has become our salvation. Him, the God, Jehovah, has become our salvation. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Amen. But Jehovah himself has become our salvation. And once we recognize that he saves, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Some of y'all know already where I'm at. There was a woman that went to a well. Man, her life was messed up. She couldn't go out with all the other ladies at the same time of day that they went out. She had to wait a little bit later in the day. Here she come out with her water pot. And as she get there, and Jesus done sent the disciples away, and he's having conversation with this one lady. And as they just begin to kind of talk about worship and talk about a few things, amen, that he began to offer this lady some. He said, now you come there to give me a drink and everything like that and get water for your family and so on and so forth. Say, but if you ever drink of the water that I have, you will never thirst again. Say, if you ever drink of this water, lady, you'll leave the lifestyle that you're in, and you'll start following me wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. But, you know, the lady said, now, wait a minute. You ain't got nothing to even get no water out of here. How, you know, what kind of water are you giving? He said, the water that I give, you know, it springs up into you. It's like everlasting life that keeps springing. It's a well that will not run dry if you ever get a hold of this water. Come on, somebody in here done already tasted of this water. And that's why you ain't thinking about tasting the things of this world, because once you drink this, you can never go back to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad that I'm drinking from the wells of salvation. My, my, my. It's that lady said, you know what, sir? I ain't never had none of that, but give me this water that you're talking about. Amen. You say, you want some? Yeah, I want some. They were, go get your husband and come here. Oh, I got to have a husband to drink this water? Saying, look, I ain't got no husband. He said, you done well said. That's exactly what I was waiting to hear you say. Right? Because the one that you're living with right now is not your husband. You done had five, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. Like I said a few weeks ago, that should settle all the shacking and living together. The one you're living with right now, if you ain't married to him, you shouldn't be living with him. Amen. Amen. I don't care nothing about, you know, it helped me pay the bills. Jesus saves. Jesus can help you pay your bills. If you want to invite a man to live with you, invite Jesus. Glory to God. But here, you know, she say, I perceive you got to be Messiah. Ain't nobody ever told me the things that I've done. That lady took off. She took a drink of that, took off running into the city. Come see a man that told me the things that I did wrong. Isn't this the very Messiah? That lady recognized that day that Jesus saves. She began to drink waters from the wells of salvation. You can drink from those same waters. You can drink from those same waters. And I tell you, when you begin to drink from these waters, you'll never thirst again. There's a man on a cross getting ready to die. Because he recognized that well of salvation was right there next to him. He had a comment. He says, you know, just please. I mean, his buddy just giving him what for. You know, if you the one that saved people. Ain't that what your name mean? You can imagine, right? You know, ain't that what your name mean, that you're supposed to save your people? Yeah, I am. I'm supposed to save my people, but don't forget the rest of it. From their sins. So if you ain't willing to change, you ain't going to be saved. Say, well, you know, you doing all this and doing all that. Well, why don't you just rescue us? His friend say, look, man, why don't you just leave him alone? He ain't done nothing wrong. What we've done, we deserve to die. But this man ain't done nothing wrong, so you need to just leave him alone. Says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And that day, Jesus told that man, say, look, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And just in a nick of time, before that man died, he got an opportunity to experience the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, this is what Christmas is really about.
Yes, sir.
Jesus saves. Let me read a last, this is a long quote, but it's going to be my last one. I just love to think about what Christmas is all about. I like to talk about it. Man, my God, it took on the flesh of man to come down and save us all. Had not he done it, church, we would be lost. No need to even come fellowship. Don't let Santa Claus take the place of the real story behind Christmas. Our Lord and Savior, he saves. Smyrnian church age. We read this in Sunday school, and I just want to bring it back around. That is what happened for our redemption. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she bore a son and called him Jesus. The great creator came down and became a sacrifice for our sin. His blood was the blood of God. That is exactly what it was. That blood of God was shed, and the Spirit left him as he died in agony. Then the same life Spirit came back to indwell the repentant sinner and set him free. That sinner did not come back year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, but there was no need. By one sacrifice, once and for all, he has been set free from the dominion of sin and has received the life of Christ, whereby he reigns in victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I like that. He reigns in victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. God did it. He did it all. He cried out to the world, cursed in sin, I will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That will be your sign. It will be an everlasting sign. What she brings forth will be Emmanuel, God with us. God came down in a blood cell, not through a man, but by the Holy Ghost. And in that virgin womb, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. The seed of the woman came in order that he be bruised to bring us our salvation. When the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, he created within her womb the cell that would multiply and become the body of our Lord. That cell was created. It was the beginning of the creation of God. That is who Jesus is. And that Holy One was filled with the Holy Blood, even the blood of God. That tabernacle came to birth. He grew to be a man. He went to Jordan there, and that sacrifice was washed of John in the river called Jordan. When that acceptable sacrifice rose out of the water, God came and indwelt him, filling him with his Spirit without measure.
And when he died and shed his blood, the perfect life of God was liberated to come back upon the sinner who accept the Christ, as his Savior. Oh, how striking it is. Jehovah, born crying over a manure pile. Jehovah, born in a manger of straw. There is your everlasting sign to the proud and puffed up and pseudo-intellectuals that have evolved their own theology and denied the truth of God. Jehovah God, a crying baby in a stinking barn. Then we think we have a right to be proud, holding up our noses, criticizing and acting as though we were somebody. Here's your real sign. This is the right one. Jehovah playing as a boy. Jehovah working in a carpenter shop. Jehovah washing the feet of fishermen. Look, if Jesus had a job, guess what? Don't let nobody get off on that. Jesus worked. We should work too. I will give you a sign, said God, not the sign of a white-collared priesthood, not the sign of wealth and power. There's nothing in this sign that you will want or think suitable, but it is an everlasting sign. It is the greatest sign of all. Jehovah standing in the courtyard, bruised and bleeding with thorns on his brow and spit on his face, mocked and set at naught. Jehovah despised and rejected, hanging naked upon the cross while the hypocrites jeered and dared him to come down off the cross. Jehovah dying. Jehovah praying and nothing happening. Then Jehovah died. That is a sign for all men now. There isn't another like it. It is the great one. Then darkness came upon the earth. They put him in a tomb. There he lay those 3 days and nights until an earthquake shattered the gloom of night and he came forth. Jehovah came forth. Jehovah ascended on high. Then Jehovah returned to indwell in his church. Jehovah came back with a mighty rushing wind and flames of fire. Jehovah came back to walk in the midst of his church and empower his people. Once more, Jehovah came, and this time to stay in his people. And again, Jehovah heals the sick, raises the dead, and manifests himself by the Spirit. Jehovah came back, speaking in tongues and giving the answer back in interpretation. Jehovah came down and he raised a prostitute to sin no more. He came down to the drunkard with fly blows on his face as he lay unconscious in the gutter. Yes, Jehovah came to manifest in flesh and manifest through flesh. Jehovah came, God in us, the hope of glory. When I think about him raising prostitutes and raising drunkards, raising drug addicts. We've heard testimony after testimony of people that's been raised up from a life of sin. Well, those testimonies are evidence to each and every one of us, even if you think back of where you were. But where you are today, it's evidence that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's not what he did back in the Old Testament. It's not even what he did in the New Testament, but it's what he's still doing right now. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this world to save his people from their sins. And I'm so glad that I'm one of those people that have been saved. 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 My. I just love him. The song says, saved by his power divine. Save. I got new life. Sublime. Life now is sweet. Come on, your life was miserable without Jesus. But life now is sweet and my joy is complete because I'm saved, saved, saved. And one day that song hit me while I was in my office at work and wasn't nobody around but just me and Jesus. And that song, just the words to the song just meant something to me. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I begin to run around the office and say, I don't care who come in here and see me now, but I'm saved. I've been rescued from sin. Church, I'm happy about that. That's the real Christmas story. That's the present that you want to give to somebody. And you ought to pray that you can give that present to somebody to let them know that Jesus, he saves. Oh my, when I think
of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Come on. I thank God for saving me. Anybody feel that way? Come on. Say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Put your hands on it. Come on. And all that he's done for me. Well, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Hey, I thank God for saving me. Hey, now when I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh my, and all that he's done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Well, I thank God, hey, for saving me. Well, now when I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, and all that he's done for me, well, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah. Hey, I thank God, oh, for saving me. Come on, one more time. Well, now when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all that he's done for me, well, oh, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah. Hey, I thank God, oh, for saving. Now we're going to go to church. Listen. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Jesus saved me. When I was lost, sinking deep in sin, he saved me. Oh, Jesus saved me. Hey, now when I think of the good of Jesus, well, and all that he's done for me, hey, you know my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, I thank God, hallelujah. Come on, sing it again. Well, now when I think of Jesus, hallelujah, and all that he's done for me, yeah, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah. Well, I thank God for saving me. Well, he saved me. He saved me. Oh, he saved me. Jesus saved me. When I was lost, Jesus saved me. Sinking deep in sin, Jesus saved me. Oh, he saved me. Jesus saved me. He saved me. Jesus saved me. Yeah, he saved me. Jesus saved me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all that he done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah, yeah, I thank God, oh, for say, one more time, hallelujah, say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all that he's done for me, yes, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, yeah, I thank God for saving me. Come on and worship him in this place this morning. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we
bless and praise your precious and holy name. And God, as we just reflect on what Christmas really is about, the reason you were even given the name Jesus is because you were taking on the flesh of man, becoming a kinsman redeemer to come and save us from our sins. Father, we thank you that we have knowledge of that, and we were all lost sinners in the hands of an angry God, and completely separated from you. Even our birth separated us from you, God. We came into this world speaking lies. But Father, once we recognize somebody talked to us about the Lord Jesus, we accepted that sacrifice that was paid at the cross, and now our lives have been changed. God, I want to give opportunity this morning. If there's one in our midst that does not know Jesus as your Savior, that's what he came for, to be the Savior of the world. If you don't know him as Savior today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want you to just lift your hand right where you are. If you know that you don't know him as Savior, God, I want to know you that way. You know you don't know him, and you want to know him, just lift your hand. God sees the hand. Keep your heads bowed. Let's pray. Thank you for being honest in his presence. Thank you for being honest in his presence. Lord, you see the hands, those that say that they don't know you and the pardoning of sin, but today they'd like to get to know you. And Lord, this is what Christmas is all about. I pray, God, that they would come to recognize you right now, and that, Lord, you would forgive them of the sins that they have committed. And may they realize that they can transfer every sin that they've ever done on to the Lamb of God. And they can leave this place today with a conscience that would never desire to sin again, no matter what the age. Lord, they can have that experience where they'll never desire to sin again. And if they find themselves sinning, Lord, that they quickly repent and ask for your forgiveness. I pray, God, that they would experience your salvation now. That you, God, would just minister to their hearts and let them know that they've been forgiven. And they don't have to walk back in that lifestyle anymore, but they can walk according to your word. Receive them now, God, is my prayer. Let the angels begin to sing because of one sinner repenting. Another king or queen is being born. And we thank you for that, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, let's just sing a little bit of this. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Sweeter as the days go by. Listen. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Oh, right now, today, just come. Come on, there's nothing better. There's nothing better, my God, than knowing Jesus. He will pick you up. He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. You ought to know. Come on, get to know him. Get right now, today. Right now, today, just come. Come on, come on. Hey, come on, come on, come on. Say, come on, come on, come on. Right now, today, just come. Come on, everybody, come on, come on. Say, come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on, come on. Right now, today.
girl, just come. Come on, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Oh, there's not the other verse. Oh, that knowing Jesus, he gets sweeter as the day. He gets sweeter as the day goes by. You ought to know him. You ought to know. Get to know him. Oh, right now. Today, just come on one more time. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Oh, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Yeah. Oh, he will pick you up. He will pick you up. Turn your life around. You ought to know him. Get to know him right now, today, right now, today, just come. Come on, let's worship him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the service today. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your presence. Lord, as we prepare to leave, but we ask that you would go with us, that you would keep us, that you would bring us back at the appointed time tonight. So come, Lord, just to honor you. Even the wise men, when they came 2 years later to bring presents, to bring gifts. Each gift had meaning and purpose for what they were giving. Tonight, Lord, as we come back into the house of the Lord for our worship, Christmas worship service, is because we want to give what you've given us, give it back to you in some way. Whether it's through song or through poem, you've given us the ability to write plays and to act out our faith. God bless the events that will take place here tonight. And we welcome your spirit to just come and join us, Lord, and that you would receive from the offerings that we bring. We offer ourselves. We offer our lives. We offer it to you. So, God, we ask that you would just keep us till we're able to see one another again this afternoon. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You can be seated. And I know that we have a meeting, amen, that they wanted to do right after service, and we'll do that. But it's just a tradition of mine, amen. I just need to get those. If y'all brothers would help me out, just take that table and put it right here. And then I got two boxes in my office, so if brothers would grab those two boxes and bring that for me. I greatly appreciate that. But it's just something that I appreciate these brothers, man. I appreciate y'all. I was talking with Sister Rachel yesterday, and she was saying how we can see that Satan has just really, it's an attack on our church, especially against the men of the church, right? Just put it right on the table. But it's an attack, you know, against the men of the church. So many things that have happened, and with us losing so many brothers this year, but you know, I'm looking for God to raise up right here in our midst, and I'm looking for God to add to, you know, what's already here. The story ain't over. This just part of one chapter, and actually, if I can say, chapter 2015 has already been written. We're reaching the end of the year, but 2016 is something to look forward to. So y'all be under expectation. I was telling him, you know, I had a call from a brother who looked me up. He was our tour guide. We went to London the first time in 2010. And he was our tour guide, and he recently got in touch with me and said, "Brother Jack, he said, "I was just in the States, and I'm sorry I didn't look you up to get in touch with you." I said, "Man, I wish you would have."
He said, I was up north, and I should at least call you. I said, well, I said, that's fine. I said, but he said, I plan on coming back. So I'm moving to the United States. I said, well, yeah. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, where are you moving to? Say, I'm going to be up in the Virginia area first, but my desire is to be in West Palm Beach. So I'm going to be doing everything I can to get to West Palm Beach so I can fellowship at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So God got people in a whole nother country trying to get here to fellowship. And I say, Lord, that just encouraged my heart, right? Amen. We're gonna keep pressing on because we don't know who and how God's going to do things. But you know what? We know he's in control. But this is a time where, amen, Sister Eric and I, we just like to express our appreciation to the church. Each and every one of you, amen, are special to us. And each and every one of you, amen, help make Spirit and Truth the place that it is. It would not be a church if you were not here. Amen. And we remember when we were first starting out and just being in the house just with our three daughters. And, man, we remember those days. So when we come into an environment like this, we're just very grateful just to see how God, amen, is moving. And we just like to say thank you to the church. We like to say God bless you. We like to say Merry Christmas to you. And what we give is just a little token of our love. It's a little tradition that we do, amen, that we give this this candy, amen. And some of y'all might not eat candy, but you got people that might come to your house that do eat candy, so give it to them, amen. And but the story behind the candy is that there was a man that was, I was reading the story this morning, said this man got down to 45 pounds, about 45 pounds. And there was a lady that was sent. She was a nurse. She was sent to take care of him. But she began to share her testimony how God had healed her from cancer. And as she was sharing her testimony, and she said, the man said, well, who prayed for you? He said, Billy Branham. He said, Billy Branham, he come in here all the time to buy candy. He's been coming for years since a little boy buying candy. Say, I wonder if I can get him to come pray for me. So Brother Branham went and prayed for the man. And while he was praying, God said, thus saith the Lord, he's not going to die, but he's going to live. They're going to sell you candy over that counter again. And so it was about 5 years later, Brother Branham walked into the store, and this man that was 45 pounds had gained so much weight. And, and his sister said, you remember Junie? He's like, yeah. He said, well, he's back there. So Brother Branham walked up to the counter, kept his head down. He's like, yeah, I like to get some Red Hots, and I like this, and so the man said, okay, and he got the Red Hots. And then when Brother Branham looked up, at him, the man said, oh, Brother Branham. He said, brother, I'm doing well. So just so much of the, with all the medication they were giving me, I lost hearing in one of my ears, but that cancer that had me, I'm free from that. I've been healed for a number of years. And say, I thank you for praying for me. Say, well, brother, this is the fulfillment of that vision that God gave me, that you would be selling me candy behind this counter. Say, so praise the Lord. So as you eat this candy, remember that it represents God is still a healer. Amen. There's a testimony behind this candy. God is still a healer. And I'm here to tell the devil that I still believe that God is still a healer. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask my wife to come and my daughters, if y'all would help me just pass this out. But we just want to say thank you all to the church. God bless you. We appreciate you all. We love you all. Merry Christmas to you. Amen.